Okay, so just to recap, you know, the conversation that we'll have with our legislators is the need for dedicated funding. Go over what, we've got awesome training, but we're just at a minimum standard right now, and what we could do, if, how we could improve, what we could improve on if we had more funding for law clerks, skills training, things like that. Talk about, the fallback would be post, the the surcharge from post. But let's see, you know, point out where we have cut, users having to pay for a user fee, where we actually have had to start, and over the years start charging for training where we didn't have to do that in the past, and any other cuts that we talked about. I think that's it. Okay, and then I'll have numbers. Okay, here's what it costs for clerk for these.
Well, if you think about it, though, we have moved our conferences.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you know, it's I mean,
that's, dates, locations. Yeah, we've
dates and locations. We
yeah, it's a good one too. Thank you.
Did we end up cutting the Wi-Fi stuff at the conference?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah. We did, right? I mean, everybody should have access to that.
I think Hutchins will buy it.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Thank you for that discussion. I should have memorialized that up here, but I figured I'd write it in my notes so I don't have to copy it off the whiteboard. Okay. Talk about AOC Hutchins. Okay. Indigent Defense Commission. So last week, Marilyn and I met with Katrina Adair. She's listed on there as their training coordinator. What I found interesting is look at their staff. They have a director, an assistant director, a grants manager, a training coordinator, and a data analyst. And I think all of this is coming mostly from dedicated funds.
Not mostly.
It's all.
They're also all defense attorneys.
Way to I know. Go. So. Do you know what their budget is?
They do an annual report, but they'll probably have it before the end of the morning.
So is it because of the...
I would be interested to know what that is.
I mean, is it because of the Sixth Amendment and all the scrutiny that we got for...
That was the justification that Weiler used, but yeah. That was his pitch. That's yeah. Not... I mean, this group didn't even exist a few years ago.
Right. And the reason I bring this up is there any arguments that were made for them to have dedicated funding that we could translate and use for us?
This commission came out specifically because of the threat of ACLU lawsuits against yeah. Indigent defense, and this was the states, rather than taking over a statewide indigent defense system, which would cost millions and millions and millions of dollars, this was their action
yeah.
to try and stave off lawsuits.
So just the commission itself, I know has separate levels, most of their budget goes out in grants. To actual counties.
Right, so yeah, for contractors.
Their training, I don't know how much they get in their training budget. I do know that they assisted in a training out in Vernal.
We had a guy from our office there.
I was there.
Is it worth
said
having
good,
that
he
information?
Said it's a good conference.
How much of their funding is in the training?
The pitch that I was thinking is, okay, so you think it's important for them to have dedicated funding
right.
for whatever the reasons are. The same reasons apply to us to have similar dedicated funding.
Right.
I mean, what happens if now a prosecutor gets sued? Who's going to come in and defend? If it's within the scope of employment, then it's UAC or whoever represents the counties.
I don't think you're going to win that unless you're solely talking about their dedicated funding for training.
Yeah, no, that right. Yeah, just dedicated for training.
Just as a but even their training, I think, is intended specifically for to be able to give CLE to their public defenders.
It is
to the contract.
Contract indigent defenders.
Yeah.
And, I think, and who knows how much they'll think about this, but they can say there's no constitutional right to adequate representation on the prosecution side.
Yeah.
The Sixth Amendment does guarantee adequate representation to indigent defendants.
They wouldn't say that aspirational, right? They wouldn't say that publicly anyway.
The only reason why
I know this is I was on that committee. So I was on that committee before I came to UPC that like reviewed the six-member report, was part of the drafting. I worked with Judge Roth and Judge Vros and writing the state's rebuttal of all that. So I know all the background of this. And there were many people in the meetings that said that exact same thing. Because all the prosecutors in the room and UAC and everybody's like, well, are you going to do the same thing for the prosecutors? Well, no. Sixth Amendment doesn't guarantee that the government's going to be represented by qualified counsel. And they did. They said that out loud. That was one of their main
things. Well, that may not be a hard argument, but it could at least be a soft comparison, I think.
I don't know that we want to tie up our arguments with indigent defense.
Well, no, I just didn't know if you know, the argument is to be made is, okay, constitutionally, you don't have to have a qualified prosecutor, but if the prosecutor is trained, then we avoid prosecutorial error, we avoid, you know, does that go so far as wrongful convictions? We avoid wrongful convictions because our prosecutors are trained, they're better qualified. I mean, is that an argument to be made, or
sure,
do we just avoid that?
But like the Indigent Defense Commission, so Joanna Landau met with the county attorneys recently because she's concerned that they're not going to fund their grant programs. And
who's not going to fund whose grants?
State
has to continue that every year.
It's not funding, it's indigent defense. What's the two different types of funding that they talk about? So there's one-time funding and ongoing funding.
It's not one-time. The grants were not ongoing, they were one-time funding.
Oh, okay.
So every year she's going to have to go back and ask for the grant funding, and that money is all going to counties, right, that have to provide public defenders. I don't know if are there any cities that...
There are a few. Yeah.
There are some cities
that have indigent defense grants. So...
Grants? Someone got their grants?
Yeah. Like, for example, my county, we receive about $226,000 a year for our indigent defendants, our indigent counsel.
And there's
so
a number
we've hired
of,
a whole... Because we've had to hire another juvenile defense counsel because of... You have to put a juvenile defense counsel on every case now. So that's the amount of money we're getting. How they've set it up is we don't have to add any money to our budget every year to hire more people or do more things. They're supplementing our already budgeted amount with grants.
Okay. And there's a number of counties that are getting a grant for appellate indigent defense counsel partially because we lost all of our attorneys because the court made the new list. They have a roster for indigent defense now. And so she's going to be lobbying heavily to fund that. And I don't know that we want to get tied up in that discussion or argument. I don't know
what that is. I mean, I don't want to compete, you know, for whatever same fund she's getting. I just didn't know if it would be useful to say, okay, you saw the need for training here.
They're talking about training here.
But they're,
training here.
And they're only starting to develop the training piece of that whole program.
They don't have two conferences a year.
No. And that's going to lead into then what our conversation was about. I just led off with this just so we all know, you know, they're being funded, dedicated. I mean, they're not dependent on the search.
One of their arguments going in was prosecutors have this, this, and this, and we have nothing.
Right.
It's a disparity.
Mm-hmm.
So if we put that argument back on them, if we need to, we need to. I mean, we're looking out for ourselves.
Right.
It's not like the news does a lot of stories on us, so I mean, we don't have to be nasty, but we ought to be bold.
Yeah.
If we don't change our tactics, we're going to get the exact same result we've had, which is play nice and get not a damn thing from anyone.
But so are we willing to say things like,
I am.
Oh, we could.
Hell yes.
We could share our spring conference with public defenders.
Yes, okay, that's exactly where we're going. So Katrina was, I mean, you know, she approached us with, what is your training calendar like? What is your model? What trainings do you do? How do you do them? And, you know, of course we talked about, we gave her a copy of our calendar and she's on spring conference. And she said, well, is it possible to join forces with that? And I said, well, that was Minister Steven. That was part of the reaction, but I'm trying to play nice. So I said, well.
Just because we like saying funny things about defense attorneys?
I know.
Yeah, that's the funnest part.
Well, and we actually led off with, well.
Because they did the same thing. I was at their conferences in August as well.
Yeah, is that when I was still at Orem, I sent Jake Summers to one DUI for defense and one other conference. And they got up. I think somebody actually asked Jake, would you please leave? You know, but they definitely got up and said, okay, we have a prosecutor. We can't say what we were originally going to say or kind of tailor their comments. So I explained that while spring conference isn't like trade secrets, I mean, we present the legislation with a definite slant towards prosecutors.
And the case law update.
So I said, you know, I take it to the council. I mean, if you guys are going to pay half the costs and this and that, and you know, they may want to have somebody on the panel briefing. I said we could make it happen, but I don't know how well that would be received. But yeah, that's exactly.
Bob had to step out of the room, and so I followed up his comments with what our mandate was, that it was for prosecutors. I said, if you'd like to, since it's highly unlikely that we'll join forces with you, you know, I don't think the council will endorse that. I said, you know, you're welcome to come to the conferences where you're not a targeted audience at all. But can we turn you away? No. If you, but you'll have to pay the same registration fee as everybody else.
I thought we used to charge them more. Do we not?
No, they're $350.
We charge them double, I think. Don't we?
No, it's good.
It would be the higher amount, and so she understands that. I think what she was really wanting was, well, how do you do a conference? How do you set up the logistics? You know, and we just kind of gave her a full overview of what we do, but.
I mean,
there was no invitation to really come on over.
I don't think
we
had any skin off our nose for her to come to our conference.
No, you know, and I just said, you know, you can come
there's
like everybody else.
There's already public defenders that are. Right.
Well, there are. We had fewer this year.
We think that there's not.
We had fewer this year because Marilyn called, you know, one or two of them that she knows, and they said, either could come and you guys make fun of us, or we're not feeling welcome.
We went somewhere else because everybody makes fun of us.
John Johnson
was there this year.
John
Swallow was in the hall.
He was.
Yeah, he was. But he wasn't at our conference. He just happened to come around the corner, and I think he was taken aback by, oh, well.
So, I took it a little bit different than Marilyn. I thought she was exploring the idea of, are there conferences where we could join forces so she could save some money? Now, maybe I just misinterpreted that. I can't really think of any other conference where we would want Indigent Defense Counsel coming in, because it would be.
Well, I don't think the Indigent, at least the ones that I work with, would want to come to a conference with us either. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
yeah.
We're too diametrically opposed on
right.
Conferences.
Right, right.
I think she was just wondering how to do a conference and, who the contacts were. And
I know she did ask
how
if she could post our legislative update on their webpage. I said, I can't tell you no because it's open to the public. You know, you just have to keep our logo on it, you know.
Yeah, she wanted to link.
Public defenders who are excellent, shouldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, true.
See,
so
why are we
even hesitant to give them that stuff?
Oh, no, we're not. I'm just saying, you know, it's on the webpage, go get it. And even on our members only stuff, we don't create documents how to, you know, win your DUI. I mean, it's just all sort of
like secret strategies.
Right. See, we don't have any of that.
They do.
Of course they do.
But sometimes on our legislative updates, I mean, we do put practice points.
We do. And again, is if we're afraid of let the defense counsel having that, we wouldn't post that.
Right.
So we're not afraid of what we're putting out there.
We draft the legislative summaries with an audience in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't think
you'd have to change that.
That we wouldn't?
Like, it's obvious that it's put on by process.
Right. Some defense attorneys already know. No, they do. I guess my question is we're not going to exclude them if they want to come.
We've already had problems with space in some of our locations.
Well,
so we can't just say, bring 100 and come along because we don't have 100 teams.
Right. I mean, that
throws us out of our locations.
Right. So we would have to take that into account. It's, the question is though, is let's say they, you know, they say, okay, we are gonna bring 100 indigent defense attorneys. We'd like a seat at the table in preparing and presenting the summaries. Are we willing to go so far as to do that?
Until we cross that bridge if we,
if we get there?
I highly doubt that.
When we have a problem with too many registration fees being paid.
Right, yeah.
I just, I ask the question only because I, if it were me, I would ask that. And so I just wanna know what your feeling is in anticipation of that, that question, so.
We can bring back swag, earplugs for the defense.
UPC overloaded with what?
I think she was overloaded with whatever we gave her.
Yeah.
She said to me later, well, can I call you just to, you know, tell me about where you hold it and how you, you know.
Yeah.
She was looking for the logistics.
This is a separate discussion. I think we're gonna go sidetrack, but we should probably be assisting the Indigent Defense Commission and making sure that they're a robust organization. That's how I feel personally.
Mm-hmm.
They're very confident in their own abilities.
I didn't see that in our mission statement, and I don't see that in our budget.
That's the UPC though.
I think that's a mission of prosecutors, is to make sure that we have good indigent defense.
Right.
Part of our job is.
That's not part of UPC, that's part of prosecutor job, not training job.
Hey, where were you when we were talking about due process yesterday?
I think it's part of justice.
That's dread, that's all I got.
Okay.
I like their program.
With UCDA as well, but I just think UPC is the place for it.
Well,
they know that you are.
So, my last Romanette, I just recently discovered that that's what they're called instead of the little eyes. So my last Romanette is, are there topical conferences though, seminars that in the future we might want to do with indigent defense? You know, following up on Rob, what Rob said, granted, our job is not to train them, but and this was something that Katrina asked as well, as you know, are there topical issues where we can bring prosecutors and defenders together to try to build some rapport?
Absolutely.
So
I can think of two situations where you have to adjust how it's presented.
Yeah.
But right now, rapid DNA is being used by some of the law enforcement agencies,
mm-hmm.
and without getting into advocacy on how to use it or not, there is a dispute going on that it would serve prosecutors and defense attorneys to know what is happening with that science right now. What we know about racial bias in the justice system, not bias in prosecution, but in the justice system generally, we'd have to adjust how the presentation was made, but that is something that affects both sides, and both sides would be served by understanding that better. These are just two.
Especially with the increase in the percentage of sentencing, those issues going on,
right.
It would be good for both sides to be able to educate judges on those kind of issues,
right.
I think, as well.
And there might be areas in these conferences where there's both sides, where there's a panel of disagreement.
Well, I also think that's where you would be looking at getting your national experts and things like that to explain, you know, why things are certain ways.
Right. I mean, I agree with Jan. Is our mission statement is to train prosecutors, and that would be our focus. It's just, you know, in this day and age when we're under fire, the relationship we have with the defense bar is so much more acrimonious.
I've prosecuted a case where a defense attorney didn't know about DUIs.
Yeah.
And that didn't make my DUI prosecution better.
Right, right.
And to what Rob said, like a basic threshold of knowledge on some of these issues, not every issue, serves everybody.
Okay.
So
I shouldn't have told you ACDL no when they asked me to present at their conference last year.
I did.
You told them no?
I told them no.
Okay, well that will be something, you know, to look at.
Well, we had
maybe I'll throw that into my pitch with Hutchings is, you know, we've had additional funding, we can, you know, these are some additional topics and extend an olive branch. Okay, council meeting. So talking about how we're going to improve council meeting. So, you know, right now we do the budget review, we do a review of past and present conferences. We go through that really fast. Are you guys okay with how fast we go through the review, or do you want more details from the training committee, from us as staff, or are we doing it okay?
For me, you send us the packet in advance.
Yeah.
It has Tyson and Marlise's, you know, right there, has all your breakdown budget, so, and even Ron's report. So for me, if I'm prepared for meeting, I really don't need to spend 40 minutes going over that again. It's fine if they're here, if we have questions.
Well, okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because I had wondered about that, is, you know, I don't write paragraph style like Mark did. I do bullets, but I try to include them more, because I find for my eye, it's easier if it's all bulleted out. So what about the next council meeting, if I do that, is I say, okay, have you had a chance to review? Anybody have any questions here? Or if there's something I need to highlight.
Like a consent calendar, essentially?
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else feels the same, but at least for me, your packet's pretty thorough and it answers most of my questions.
I feel the same, yeah.
Okay, well then we'll try that format because. So based on what we have talked about, adding to the agenda is a SWAP, UCDA, and OOMPA report. And just so we're clear, so what we would want from those groups is like any legislative issues that the entire council needs to be aware of. For any UPC specifically related to statute, how can the council provide support to those agencies? Is that what we talked about, agreed on yesterday?
Well, just one comment. OOMPA is really only just a conference. They're not really an organization.
Well, see, I just didn't know if we would want to report like on what Ryan is the executive.
But that only makes him a member of SWAP's board. That position was created only to designate who was going to be OOPA's representative on SWAP's board.
Okay.
And so really, that's more of a SWAP report.
All right, so we'll strike that.
Yeah, OOPA's just a conference.
We did talk about prosecutor assistance and public safety having more of a role.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you, Will. And then the report from the UPC representatives on committees, so there they all are. I added Steve's youth court advisory. I will follow Craig's advice and do a search to see if there are any other committees. But what I was thinking is, and tell me if you think differently, is have them report in April so that if there's any legislative changes that are affecting that committee that came out of the session, they can bring us up to date on that, and then the rest of the year, just have them submit a written reports like Marlise and Tyson. Does that sound all right?
Or you can even rotate it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Once a quarter, maybe, but you know, whatever. I can't imagine that they'll pick up too much time on the agenda.
How often do they attend, meetings?
See, some are quarterly.
Mine's quarterly.
Yeah.
Criminal code task courses every month. Right now.
Yeah, see, some meet more often than others, so well, let's try it this way, see if they extend it, you know, much into that, or extend the length much when we do it in April. Okay, so I said that with all of this, you know, council time might increase to 2 to 2.5 hours. Now I will ratchet that back in light of your recommendation that I don't have to cover any of the information that is summarized. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, between yesterday and today, we've had some really excellent discussion that we never have time for in council meeting because, you know, just trying to rush it through, or UCDAA is following us, or SWAP is following with us. How do you feel about time and, you know, following on the heels of somebody else? I know it's convenient to do SWAP and UCDAL in conjunction because there's so much overlap.
Do you want to always be the third one? Maybe?
We could. I mean, how long do your meetings usually go?
About 2 hours. They've been about 2 hours.
Yeah, and SWAP is, how long is SWAP?
About 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, the packets that you provide, when SWAP sometimes runs out of time at the end of the 2 hours.
Yeah.
But because they don't have the materials, like whatever we haven't discussed is just gone until the next meeting.
Yeah.
The level of detail you provide almost makes it easier for us to smash into a limited time window, because whatever's left, it's just, it's, the materials and opportunity review is already added.
Yeah. Okay. And because I'm not saying that we don't, you know, continue to combine with these guys. There's just times when we've limited ourselves to 90 minutes, and yeah, a lot of it has been wasted on the review that, that...
I wouldn't say wasted, but you're thorough on the front end, and so we could shave time.
So, I'll experiment with the time. Maybe I'll go to 2 hours and see if that's too much time. We can come back and adjust if you're all okay with that. And then, how do you feel about what we have done is, you know, rotating with swap UCBAA, you know, either your morning, mid, afternoon, and just rotate it that way, or do you guys want to have a preference?
As someone who has to go to all three meetings, I like them all.
It's mandated in the UCBA bylaws.
Oh, is that what you guys did? Oh, that's right, you said that yesterday. Yeah, okay.
That we attempt to do it on the same day as the other two organizations. So we're going to keep trying to do that.
Okay. Okay. Now, you guys are meeting in November, though, right?
Yeah.
So we hadn't planned on meeting in November. Do you want to have a council meeting in November? Because, like I said, by then, I will have the AOC numbers. There's not really going to be a budget issue, you know, to talk about the budget other than...
Swap is planning on having a meeting.
And that's going to be in St. George as well.
Oh, that's right. That's in conjunction with UAC.
Yes.
Oh, I'm on military orders that week, so I won't be there. But do you guys want to have a meeting and have a member of UPC staff or Stephen chair that, or just want to maybe do a phone call meeting if we need to on the AOC information?
So without that meeting, the next meeting is in January.
Yeah.
And so
are we planning on having this meeting with numbers before then? With our legislators before or after that?
Oh, we need to, well, see.
Yeah, that's really the other.
We're attempting to have some legislators come and talk to us.
Well, I think our
lobbying efforts.
Yeah, I think our one-on-one meeting with Hutchings and these others needs to be October-ish.
Yeah. I'd say as soon as you get those numbers, let's just have a teleconference.
Okay. So when I get them, I'll try to coalesce them into some kind of report, send it out, and then I will do a conference call. Okay. All right. Let's see.
So I'll be down to UAC as well.
No, you won't. There's no money in the budget for that.
Yes, I won't be.
You're going to get a basket of Milton apples for you.
Come do a meditation.
Oh, no, that's right. You are presenting. UAC has to pay your travel fees.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay. So now she'll be there. Not in the UPC capacity. Okay. The next to the last thing that I have on here is community outreach programs. You know, we've been talking about what our perception is in the community, how we're perceived. And I know that first of all, is anybody doing any kind of community outreach?
We're doing town halls on random issues. We had a town hall a few weeks ago. Sim is going to a hate crimes town hall on the Jewish Community Center. A few weeks, so I guess it depends on how you frame it. On some level, all of us are interacting with the media and members of the community.
Well, I mean, I know that, you know, we used to coach some of the mock trial teams,
right?
And I know, you know, more or less we're involved in our youth corps, and I know as a city we do a lot of things, but it's not really focused on our office. Like we go and volunteer at one of the elementary schools, you know, at-risk elementary schools, and reading and stuff like that. But it's not focused on saying who we are and what we're doing.
Is it time to do that? Has the time come? And if so, what, if any, role do we play?
Probably was 10 years ago.
What's that?
The time was probably 10 years ago.
You're right.
You know, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best is today.
That's right. Well, I looked on our NAPC webpage, and these are examples from other states. A lot of these are from North Carolina, but they do traffic safety. They have a human trafficking. What is a prosecutor? Elder financial law, elder abuse, safe at home, prosecuting domestic violence, constitutional law day, victims' rights, what to do if you're a victim of crime, reaching out to minorities, like sounds like Sims doing in the town hall, crimes against children, what's my office doing for our community? And then I added this, prosecutor power and authority. I'm not saying that, that we as a staff can prepare this for you to take out. We could get other states' presentations and provide them to you, or maybe we come up with an ad hoc committee if we think we want to do some of this. I,